The Red Pill Hardcore Real Show. Your host, Lee. And yes, we're going to talk about some really cool stuff here. One of my favorite topics, actually, we're going to be talking about guns. I'm going to leave it to Luca to titillate us with gun and gun information. I'm excited to hear about what you have to present. Go ahead.
This is because I want your input. I want you right next to me. This isn't about me. It's about gun safety. And I'm so glad because, believe it or not, I'm part of a gun club here. And we're like 3,000-5,000 people in the area and in the town where I'm at. And the owner, just to give you an idea, the owner of the gun club is the guy that trains the sheriffs in the area and the local areas. Okay, so it's kind of, you know, very tight knit. I offered them one time to do a session, or if they'd like to participate in a session for gun safety. Never got an answer back. Okay, so I said to myself, I'll do it myself. I'll do it for me, and whenever I get the chance. I never thought I'd be able to do it here, but if people want a part two, I'd be more than happy to. The whole idea came to me because of the Alec Baldwin thing. And we tried to hit on it last night, but, you know, things got complicated, and we had a caller also. We had Theo with us. But tonight, I just want to throw this at people because this is the biggest part about learn to unlearn. As far as learn to unlearn is concerned, it means getting out of the box. It means daring to talk about sometimes the unspeakable, okay? This is where change happens. You know how they say that change doesn't happen without hurting, without being uncomfortable, right? So, okay, I kind of looked into this Alec Baldwin thing, you know, and there's clues everywhere, the narrative, like he was given a loaded gun. He what? You know, okay, he didn't load it. Well, okay, they don't load themselves or fire off a round by accident. Inanimate objects just don't do that. And he pointed it where? Okay, she wasn't even in the movie, right? You know? Okay, one narrative after... A day and a half after I was doing my research on it, I get a meme that drops in my lap. And it didn't last very long on... I think it was Facebook at the time, or Twitter. No, it was Twitter. And it says, you know, if you're capable of entertaining the thought without drama and without judging and, you know, just... This is it. It's a hit, it says. Helena Hutchins' next project was a documentary on Hollywood pedophile rings. Okay. The director of photography killed by Alec Baldwin was attached to controversial upcoming documentary about alleged pedophiles in the entertainment industry. Okay, we know there's pedophiles and we know there's pedophilia going on in the Hollywood industry, right? Yes, we do. Okay, so... I didn't want to throw that idea out. I thought that was really cool to keep entertaining that because I'm trying to become one of the best gun owners at the same time. So it just so happens I train myself on my gun every half hour, even if I'm sitting next to it. You know, every time I go to grab my gun, I have to look at it, drop the mag, open up the slide, make sure there's nothing in it. Okay, put the mag back in. Then I can deal with it. It's never loaded. You never have one in the chamber. That's the way I operate. If you don't have time to rack it in a situation, then you may as well forget it anyway. So that's my law. It's never, well, they consider it loaded with something in with the magazine in. I never have it loaded. And that's one of the things, there's nothing more important than that when you own a gun. Second thing is pointing it. Okay, muzzle down all the time. You know, finger out of the trigger, muzzle down all the time. That's the law. You never point it where you don't want to, and, you know, blow anything apart. You never do that. So right away, those two things are shot to hell. Pardon the pun. This is how it was for me. It was like, you know, okay, so let's do a survey. Then I wanted to address the thing about gun safety. I said to myself, how many gun owners in the USA? According to Google, a half hour before we started the show, 32% of Americans say that they personally own a firearm, and that was in the 2021 National Firearm Safety. So that means that there is 81.4 million Americans that own guns. That's that number only includes people older than 18. So that's only the people that registered. And I'm thinking, you know, if there's anything, there's nothing more important than, you know, if you're going to have a gun, it's like a family member, you know, find out the date it was manufactured, find out what the markings are on it, find, you know, blindfold yourself, turn the lights off, and field strip it. Put it, you know, take it apart, put it back together, you know, in the dark. I've done it to both my firearms here. I have a Smith & Wesson 9mm and a Walther 40 caliber. And it's, you know, plus a 12-gauge shotgun that I'm going to go into competition with. It's going to be, you know, it's a way of life. So the first thing you learn, you know, when you have the gun, I would have loved to hear what's going on the set. There was even ammunition. I don't know if you heard about that, V. There was, you know, loads of ammunition on the set, rounds of ammunition on the set, something like that. You know?
Yes.
You know the gun's loaded, or you know it's not. It's ridiculous. I didn't know the gun was loaded. It's, you know, it should be criminal to even say that or use that as defense. It's so ridiculous. And, you know, it's going to fly, you know, it's going to fly right by the, you know, over the head of any American because... Or three Americans out of four, because that's how they think anyway.
Well, it's kind of archaic. Okay, let me first start with, home defense, what you're talking about, and the way that you handle your weapons, home defense, is fine. I don't look down on that. My training is different. I'm ex-military. My training is for sweeping houses, sweeping entire homes. Mm-hmm. Mine's always pointed head, chest area, not give anybody a chance to lever up a weapon. Clean out rooms, one by one by one by one. Hand signals, everything. Silent kills. So when I'm in the States, I have a weapon. That's how I carry mine. Flashlight, opposite side. I'm sweeping to murder. Mm-hmm. But that's what kind of has people at disadvantage if they get a no-knock raid, and that's what they. That's what their routine is. They're not going to stand a chance.
But
if you're home, I mean, against a general break-in, you know, and you don't want to hurt a family member, you know, you got kids and relatives, you mm-hmm. might be spooky. That is the best way to go. Home defense, self-preservation, family preservation. Absolutely.
No, but I was comparing that to Alec Baldwin. I mean,
but yeah. You know. So let me get to that. And the way they handle things on the set is archaic. You shouldn't have anybody liable for anything because scenes can be shot separately. No loaded. There should be no real ammunition.
Toy gun.
There should be no loaded. Excuse me. Live hot rounds for any actor. You can shoot those scenes separately for glass bottles breaking and the windows and all that stuff.
And you know, fake guns look as dangerous and as real as real ones. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like for the Star Pistol stuff. You can actually buy Oh, this is one thing I've been drooling about over the internet, because I can use an old one here in Europe. It's a shotgun pistol, double barrel 12 gauge, except for it's not a real shotgun because it's a starter. But what you can do is when you have those blast caps at the back of it, you pack this thing like a 16th century muzzle rifle. You can put in your wad, your gunpowder, and your beads, and the bead cap. It's just as effective as the real thing.
And on my end,
yeah,
something called Byrna, BYRNA, Byrna.com, for anybody who's interested. It's a 68 caliber. It's an air gun. It looks exactly like a Glock.
Uh-huh.
And if you use the color orange, you know, the cops will know right away that it's, you know, that's what it's for. It's a non-lethal. You don't even need a permit to own one because it's not a firearm as such.
Uh-huh.
And it'll shoot either pellets that blow up when they hit the person into tear gas and chemicals,
mm-hmm.
or it's knockdown power pellets that, you know, they splatter and they're. What's the word? There's nothing.
They're incapacitated.
There's nothing in.
Yeah. Left.
So it's non-lethal at 60 feet, and there it's good at 60 feet. So, you know, you're talking $500, but it is worth it for, like, you know, a woman pulling something like that out with the guy that's following her, you know, and it's non-lethal every time, and you can have pepper in them. So you shoot at the face, and that's it. The person's rolling on the ground screaming, you know, that's it. Game over. Thank you. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what I'm going to have, I believe, if I can afford it. I'm not going to, you know, that'll be a ace to wear on you as a carry weapon, because you're not going to hurt anybody. You don't want to hurt or kill anybody. And, you know, trials like you know, Kyle Rittenhouse, it tells you something, you know. No, and that's when I thought of Byrna. That's I think everybody should own one. You know, how do they say that? Absolutely. An armed society is a very polite society.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Just like a good fence makes a good neighbor. It's just one of those things that society's lost track of. You know, even something not to get too off the subject here, even something like that pisses me off. You know, you know, depending on the neighborhood you live in, you know, you have certain codes and neighborhood, you know, restrictions. You know, I don't care if I buy a house that's right next to another in these serialized, you know, areas. If I want to put a 12-foot fence around my home, I should be able to. But anyways, that's off. I'm sorry. And that's something that really pisses me off. It's an eyesore in a neighborhood. You can't have a fence taller than 5 feet. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
When you want to pay my property taxes, you know, I might let you have a say.
You know what? Downtown where I was living in northern New Brunswick, in the little town, you had to go by town rules. Mm-hmm. And the rules were that the houses downtown had to be colored a certain way. They had to have the patio a certain way. The windows had to be a certain way. You couldn't add anything on your property. You could not, unless the city approved it. That's what it was. Yep. Because it had to look Acadian. French in North America, you know. They had to look Acadian. And that was their look for downtown. So everybody that has property downtown, they had to go through the city to add anything onto their house. Nope, can't have that color. Nope, can't put a barn in the back of your house, stuff like that. Yep.
That kind of stuff makes me sick. Yeah. So, you know, the whole concealed weapon thing, you know,
I had good teachers.
I really wish, and it's one of the few times I actually have left my place without my pepper spray. Like the one few times. And it's like, yes, I get into it with this little kid, this little punk who didn't see me crossing the street and wants to pull over and try to fight me. for one, you know, it's not like back in the old days. I'd mop the floor with you. I used to take on bodyguards. I used to take on bouncers. You know, fighting for me, I'm like a Saiyan. There's nothing. I'd rather fight than have sex. I'd rather fight than to have my back massaged or a back scratch. I'd rather fight than eat. Fighting is a part of who I am, part of my blood. I love a good fist on a face action. I love it. Not for the simple, not out of hate or anything like that. Just a sport. It's just a sport. Domination sort of thing. And, you know, back in the day, I would have mopped the floor with this kid. But it's just like, yeah, okay. My net worth value has risen. And, you know, how I know this kid was sitting here to do this idiotic thing and mess up my face. You know, this face is my breadwinner. Not just my voice. So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to pull out my phone and record him. Because I didn't have my pepper spray. I would have loved to have pepper sprayed him. But it's so ridiculous of how people just... If it were assumed I was carrying something, that kid would have never stopped and would have kept going. Traffic didn't have to be held up. People didn't have to be leaning their heads out of their vehicles to see what the hell it is I'm going to do. If it were assumed that I could incapacitate this person without touching them, the kid would have kept driving. I used to term kid because he couldn't have been more than 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, had I not had what I have going on like I do now in my life, I mean, I like a good sport. I just, okay, when I was in the Army, you know, number one, I was the Pugil champion. I was the MMA champion of my platoon. My company.
Mm.
So, I mean, I never feel more alive than just having a little good wrestling tussle. Nothing evil, malicious, anything like that. Just the sport of it, you know?
So you agree with everything I was saying as far
as... I agree,
Trigger finger and the muzzle management and...
Just to have something like that would just solve so many problems. As you just said, you know, bring politeness back. We desperately need that politeness, Tika.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be face-to-face with some punk kid who thinks he's hot stuff, has no idea about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know...
But you know what?
He's in the hospital. I gotta talk to his parents, or I'm in jail.
Yeah, but when you're carrying, you feel safe, you know. And I was taught the way I was taught to carry, I carry concealed. Okay, and they taught me the three D's. They call it the three don'ts. You don't ask, you don't show, and you don't tell. And then when somebody bothers you, you can just rap until they come too close, and then you open your shirt, and it's like, you know, and then they back away. You know what I mean? So it's like you're totally safe, and you don't show off. One thing I don't like is walking into McDonald's and seeing a guy having his shirt pushed back a little so everybody can see the gun on his hip. It's like, no, dude, you don't get it. It's not what you do. You know, oh, I got one in the chamber. Oh, yeah. Probably shoot your foot off with it, too, one day. You know? They don't understand. They don't have the respect. So that's something that I wish was in the background checks that they do. I really wish they'd use common sense as a credential, but unfortunately they don't.
Well, you know what? I wish people had to take tests for common sense before they have children, but you know,
yeah,
that's the world we live in. But no, but seriously, what about the thing that really gets me is the legalities, and there's so many people who do the right things legally, except for just that last moment where they get caught up and everything's blown for them. Do you know the situation I'm talking about that's most common?
I do believe.
When you got just your permits, you're all legal, you're just perfectly fine. But there's that day that you get pulled over by police, and you forget to tell them that you have a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that pisses me off the most. I think more people lose their gun rights behind that than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I may be wrong on that, but I watch so many, you know, auditing police videos. You know, that's my coffee.
Well,
I watch those type of videos before I get ready for the show. But yeah,
It hasn't happened yet to me. But what I do is, when I'm on for a trip,
mm-hmm.
I have a magnetic plate right on top of the fuse box on the left underneath the wheel, and that's, you know, your gun just goes right on that. It's like it stays there, and all you have to do is just lean forward and grab it. And you know, I was never stopped yet, but that's probably what I would tell them. Well, I have a firearm. Yes, I do. You know, whatever.
Yeah, and as soon as you tell them that, you're in the clear. But I've seen some of these people who want to do the, you know, the audit. Well, what am I being detained for? No. And they really get into it hardcore with the cops to the point where they get pulled out of the vehicle. And it's, hey, did you forget something? I hope you don't have a weapon in that car. Oh, and you know, everything that they did could have been legal and just, their resistance. But as soon as they find the weapon in the vehicle and you didn't tell them about it, it's automatic justification for everything they did.
Well, it depends which cop you have. If you have a cop with white hair, 35 years on the force, and he can't wait to go home to his wife, it's different than if you have a 23-year-old that's been on the force for 2 years and it wants to be a macho and it's green,
macho,
right?
Macho. Yeah. Yeah, macho camachos, yeah. Yeah. But still, and it's those situations that peeves me a lot. I want people to follow through with their weapon safety, because that's a part of it too. When you have to declare it, you got to declare it. Don't forget it.
You know, it. Can I just say something, please?
Yeah.
It really reminds me. It's like every single, you know, okay. I have a guy that, a friend of mine that used to say that, you know, you don't have to change the oil in the car. You know, that's just marketing. And I'm like, okay. Same thing, you know, same thing. The guy at the range, he says, that's a Glock, man. You don't have to, you know, did I hear you say something about you clean your gun every time you come back from the range? I said, yeah. He says, man, that's a Glock. You don't have to clean that.
That's stupid.
Okay. It's right down to attitude. You know, what do you do? You know, if I had a girlfriend, that's what we'd be doing. You know, you come home, first thing you do, it's the same thing as playing music. When you come home, you think about the mistakes you made. You think about the night you had and how you can make a better night. I come home, the guns go on the table. If I'm tired, I leave them on the table and I take a break. But you come back, turn the light on, you know, disassemble them, clean them. Oil them every, you know, three times out of four. When I used to clean them, oil them every three times out of four. You know, mm-hmm. treating it like you want to be treated yourself. You know, and you know your weapon. You know how many rounds you have in every one of them. It's like, I don't understand. You know, there shouldn't be a problem.
Exactly. Hey, you know what, Luca? What part of the country are you in?
What part of what?
What part of the country are you in?
I'm smack in the middle, 5 hours southwest of Chicago, right where Illinois meets Missouri, where it meets Iowa. I'm in the tri-state, it's called, Keokuk, Iowa. And they've been really good to me. You know, I've got a background check, and they accepted me right away. And, you know, it's a really good feeling. It's not this. It changes your. It transforms your life as a spiritual person. It really does. You feel like you're keeping Iowa safe. That was the logo for the guy who you know that I learned from when I took the course. Keeping Iowa safe. That's what you're doing. You know.
I was going to say we don't. I don't think we're sponsored by FriendSight anymore. But I do know that we still have the deal. Any RBN host can go and get a free membership with FriendSight. I'll probably talk to you about that off the air. But Mike has more information on that. We are major gun rights activists here at RBN for sure.
And in Switzerland, apparently one out of two people have a gun. And there's a rule in one little small town in Georgia, in the United States.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yeah, you have to have a gun and you have to have ammo at your disposal in order to be a resident.
You know what? I tried getting the mayor to do an interview with me on a TV show, and it didn't happen. He said for the first time ever, his Skype didn't work. He couldn't get it to work. Tried to have his assistant to get to work, couldn't get it to work.
Right.
So I was going to have, this is around a time that, we had more false flag shootings than ever. And I really need to get him on the show. And these feds just hacked this guy's computer, and it never happened.
Yeah, get me started on. We can talk about false flags next show if you want. Let me give you a good example of very quickly of somebody who cares, okay? On that show that we watch on the Weather Network, that show about the tow trucks and the Coquihalla Highway in British Columbia, and it's a really good show. They had an OPP officer. In this case, it's an Ontario Provincial Police officer, because they were downtown Toronto, where I used to live. I was a tow truck operator for a year down there, downtown Toronto. That was my area. An OPP officer with a sign in his hand saying, "I promise I will keep my eyes on the road." And I thought, what a cool, it's a movement on Twitter. If you check it out, it's called "I Will Keep My Eyes on the Road." I said to myself, what a good idea. I'm going to make a bumper sticker out of that. So now I'm going to have a bumper sticker that says, "I will keep my eyes on the." That means no, you know, when you're driving, your cellular phone goes next to you or it stays in the bag. I had one girlfriend that I went out with for the longest time. You could not get her to turn her head towards you in the passenger seat when she was driving. That's the way it was. I really, really respect her for that. And so many people, you know, go through an intersection, they're looking at their phone in the middle of their lap, you know. They're not even look. So I said to myself, this is a better way for me to become a better person, a better driver, you know. So it's just food for thought, you know. How can I become a better person? That's what learning to unlearn is all about.
And since you're mentioning that, before we go to break, tell us where we can find that program, Luca.
On what? Program? Learn to Unlearn is my website on BitChute, bitchute.com. I thank you for mentioning that, V. And, you know, we go to tlbtalk.com and we can get to know each other right away. That's how fast it can work. You know, come friend us. Come friend V. Come friend Luca Mino on tlbtalk.com. You can't miss us. It's a movement that's just starting, and I'll tell you, basically, my day today until about a half hour before the show. Oh, got to talk about this.
Hold on. We got to go to commercial break. We got to take one break during the show.
This is why TLB Talk is so good. I'm just saying, it's real peace, really the place to be. Handle
the truth. All right, we'll be back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are back, guys. No commercial. Luca's so on the roll here. I hate to interrupt him, but like I said, we're back, and Luca, you've got the floor.
No, don't give it to me like that. Jeez, that's making me nervous now. No. Well, I wanted people to think, because people are really treating us like, you know, microbes. Like you look at microbes in the microscope, you know, in the microscope. I'm trying to translate from French here, excuse me. And, you know, all the things that you see going on in different countries, they're like different models. And if they're successful, they're going to be used here in America. And they're trying this in Russia, and they're trying this in Ukraine, and they're trying this in Australia. All these tests are being done by pulling the strings on us and seeing how we react, right? That's the big thing. We're like guinea pigs being jolted with high voltage in the cage to see how we're going to react. So they know their prey. And the beginning of the War of the Worlds. It's such a classic because it's exactly the way Rockefeller et al., I call it, the elite, the people that tell Putin and tell, the head of the countries what to do because they're puppets. That's all it is. It's they want a war, so now we're going to get a war. That's how they make their money. So that's what they're engineering, and it's already been done. So this is just act three of whatever. And next time you hear the clip, which is now, think of you being one of them, looking at Tom, Dick, and Harry on the street in New York.
No one would have believed in the early years of the 21st century that our world was being watched by intelligences greater than our own. That as men busied themselves about their various concerns, they observed and studied. The way a man with a microscope might scrutinize the creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacency, men went to and fro about the globe, confident of our empire over this world. Yet, across the gulf of space, intellects vast and cool and unsympathetic regarded our planet with envious eyes. And slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
And slowly but surely drew their plans against us. I actually wrote that out. I thought that was so impressive. Okay, so look at the plan against us real quick. The polio lie, which you can find on TLB Talk also. The aberration of vaccination, that's what Gandhi used to call it, a barbarous enterprise. Bioweapons, the military-industrial complex, bioweapons research, you know, for Dietrich, Maryland, and China, coronavirus. Now it's 40 bio labs in Ukraine. And when I say bioweapons, I just want to be really clear because each one has a U.S. patent under it. AIDS, H1N1, Ebola, swine flu, BSE, Zika, SARS. Now it's a coronavirus. Okay. This is what they do. They don't care about us. Henry Clay was a senator in 1820 before they got rid of the Indians, or they wanted to anyway. Indians are essentially inferior to the Anglo-Saxon race, and their disappearance from the human family will be of no great loss to the world. It's exactly what they're doing today is exactly what they did 300 years ago. They're just using different instruments, but they're singing the same song. And nobody really sees it because you have to really be at it for this long to even be able to see it and be angry enough to do something about it. So I'll shut up now.
When they rise up against us, we will crush them like insects.
Exactly.
Because they are less than that. They will be helpless to do anything about it.
Son of a biscuit. That's Rockefeller. That's a whole show right there. You know, it's not that we want to bore you with this stuff. This is like chapters, you know, chapter Rockefeller, chapter Monsanto, chapter GMOs. They're, you know, they can't wait to just sicken us to death because that's where the profit is. You know, the CEO from Pfizer or whoever it was, they even come out and say it, that it's, you know, it's nothing personal. It's got nothing to do with health. It's a business.
I am so glad that you brought up Pfizer.
I'm not sure of the company, the CEO that said that.
Well, okay, so, wow. I have an update.
You too? Sorry.
Well, and this is from a guy by the name of JJ the Psychologist. So, it's really fascinating when you've got psychologists, psychiatrists, they're jumping in on the conspiracy theories now, which I find to be a little titillating. And I think that's a push in the right direction. So, let me give you the time frame here. Let's start it at 1:10, Mike, if you would, and end it off at 8:05.
All that stuff out. All right, let's talk about the news. Pfizer, together with the stupid 19 jab, partner BioNTech, was a major sponsor of Sunday's Oscars award ceremony, a broadcast that unexpectedly shone an unmissable spotlight on the hair loss disease alopecia. In one heck of a coincidence, Pfizer just happened to be in a race for market dominance of its soon-to-be-released cure for, you guessed it, alopecia. After all this happened, we find this out. In the world of pharmaceutical marketing and advertising, Pfizer's sponsorship of the 2022 Oscars was a big deal. The drug maker wouldn't disclose what it spent on the sponsorship, but BioNews source Fierce figured that that Pfizer paid at least several million for the spot. That's a lot of darn money. But a Pfizer spokesperson told Fierce that Pfizer and BioNTech are proud to support the Oscars, and we are heartened to see the film industry gather in person and alongside fans to celebrate the talent and artistry produced during the past year, basically taking credit for the event being held in person again. Of course, they're going to take that credit. The spokesperson added, the available data continue to show that the broad utilization of stupid 19 jabs and boosters can help prevent disease and protect lives, and our sponsorship highlights the impact they can have for individuals pursuing their livelihoods. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to get into that statement at all. If you want to know my thoughts on all that, you can check that out on Patreon. But as far as I was able to ascertain, Pfizer didn't sponsor or even advertise on last year's Oscars broadcast. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. So why now? Could it be because Pfizer is prepared to release a new class of therapeutics soon and is playing catch up with the competition? Last August, Fierce reported Pfizer's alopecia therapy has been linked to a reduction in hair loss in early top-line clinical data, setting the stage for a scrap with Eli Lilly and Incyte in a title fight for potential blockbuster opportunity. Ritlecinib, I don't know, I cannot pronounce that, I'm not even going to try, but has met its primary endpoint and phase 2B3 clinical trial of patients with alopecia, Pfizer reported Wednesday. The update on the JAK3 tech inhibitor comes months after Eli Lilly and Incyte reported late phase success in alopecia. There are currently no FDA-approved treatments for alopecia, an autoimmune disease characterized by hair loss, but multiple drugs could come to the market. In the indication, in the market, indicating over the few years, the next coming years, Pfizer ritlecitinib joined Lilly and Incyte's Illuminant on a list of drugs to hit the primary endpoint in pivotal alopecia trials on Wednesday. And it says, and Concert Pharmaceuticals is following closely behind. So in addition, just this month, Pfizer completed its acquisition of Arena Pharma, a biopharmaceutical company that currently has the range of therapeutics in development. Yahoo Finance covered the story. They said Arena Pharmaceuticals bring to Pfizer a portfolio of diverse and promising development stage therapeutic candidates in gastrointestinalology, dermatology, and cardiology, including Astramod, an oral selective phosphate thing, receptor modulator thing, currently in development for a long range of inflammatory diseases, including ulcers, colitis, Crohn's disease, atopic dermatitis, and so forth. You know, I'm struggling with these pharmaceutical names. But getting back to the Oscars, what was your first reaction when you saw Will Smith walk up on that stage and smack Chris Rock? If you were like most of us, you thought, that's not real, or is this an act? It certainly seemed like a bizarre and overblown reaction on Smith's part, to the extent that it was hardly believable. Later in the broadcast, his tearful, rambling acceptance speech made it seem more plausible the actor was truly in the throes of emotional difficulty. But then again, Smith, he is an actor, and I would add that he's one of the best actors that we have. But now, today comes the revelation that Pfizer, which will soon be competing to sell the most therapeutics for alopecia sufferers, was a major sponsor of the Oscars, which it hadn't sponsored before, and which coincidentally featured a bizarre incident that focused the world's attention on alopecia. I mean, come on, man. I don't really believe in coincidences like that. But I'm not saying Pfizer sponsored the Oscars and set up the Smith Rock altercation as a marketing ploy, but if they did, it would have been brilliant. It's worth noting that their spokesperson told Fierce, quote, the film industry has embraced vaccination, masking, and other protocols designed to help people prevent disease and avoid serious illness from stupid-19. And we are pleased to work with it to further promote public health. So it's not like the pharma giant is unaware of the power of Hollywood to make a sale. Of course, we all know that coincidences doesn't equal causality. You know, we learn about that in statistics and all that. But just because Pfizer sponsored the Oscars and the Oscars just happened to focus worldwide attention on a fairly obscure disease, and Pfizer just happens to have a cure for that disease coming out soon, doesn't mean that there's a connection. But what are the chances? Let me know what you think. Leave your comments down below. Like, share, and subscribe. And check out themarkrepublics.com for the latest in news. Until next time.
All right.
It's 805.
All right. Anyways, and I don't know if anybody caught that, but they're also coming up with things to help with autoimmune diseases and gastro and inflammatory diseases, which includes the heart attacks.
They're coming out with drugs to cover up the symptoms of the vaccine.
Don't get me going.
I'm going to get you going. I'm gonna get
Don't
you
get
going.
Me going. 1918, eliminating the soul with medicine, from Rudolf Steiner, in the form of vaccines, leaving it, of course, to the materialistic doctors will be entrusted this task. Huh? I have the script. I also have the 13-part lecture series on the spirits of darkness that he was talking about. 1918, guys and girls. This is what they've been doing. This is what dumbing down really means. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's actually real. We're like Animal Farm, you know? We're a huge bunch of guinea pigs together.
Well, for the simple fact that this guy, I like his research, I looked it up. He's absolutely right. I don't know. I don't want to create... And I know the whole point, and just how you just said, Luca, but I don't know about you guys. I don't want to be in a cycle of, oh, I have to take this drug for this, and I have to take this drug for the side effects of that drug.
And I have no idea how the drugs interact either. Drug.
Go ahead, Luca.
Okay. No, we don't even realize how the drugs interact with each other either. And, you know, it's been said that the doctor is going to look at you and say, once you've been vaccinated, like, we don't know what's wrong with you. We don't know what's in the vaccines. We don't know anything about, you know, it could be anything at all. Oh, okay. So all of a sudden you're going to start dying of myocarditis, or you're going to, you know, your immune system is the first thing that takes the hit. That's why people are going to be developing AIDS again, getting cancer more often. That's exactly what they want. Hey, if we're healthy, they don't make any money, right?
Right. It's criminal.
And now Pfizer is going after the infants right after birth. Yes, sir. At birth, mRNA gene therapy at birth. Experimental. Don't even call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. Unbelievable. And the parents are going, oh, okay. Oh, the government says so.
And you have the best timeline. You and Altman, I swear. Just
love you too.
The picture of the soldier on the ground. A warrior knows he could die in battle. He just doesn't expect the arrows to be from his own government. And you see the knight on the ground, the arrows in his back.
You know, there's an even better one further down. It's one of the first ones that I put up, I think, out of the 3,000 that I have, 3,000 pictures, I think it is. There's one guy, it looks like a Civil War setting. He's leaning against the big tree. And he's got the gun. That's all he has is one pistol. And you see a whole range of redcoats walking. And the theme says, you know, sometimes odds don't matter at all.
Well, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Against all odds, you know, people ask me all the time, like, aren't you afraid to be doing what it is that you're doing? I
hope
my number one answer is I go through the industry looking for enemies. If anybody wants to approach me, if anybody wants to challenge this, I'm going to expose them. And that's what we all need to be doing. We're all in this together. We're all a human family here, okay? Don't be like... what's his name? Max NY. Don't be like that guy. Okay? We all have some various evils in our past and even in our genetic memory. But that doesn't mean we can't be the big family tree that we are and weather the storm together. We gotta get out that rot, that cancer for sure.
But we are much bigger than that cancer. Wouldn't you say, Luca?
You got that right. I'm proof of it.
You're proof of it. You're living, walking, breathing proof of that.
And you know what I'm saying? I'm saying something that doesn't even have anything to do with it. If I had two sentences left to say real quick, I would say, when your nation loses its conscience, I would say, be the conscience of your nation. That's what I would say. And that's not taking sides. That's not saying color. And that's something we're going to try and do less on the show, too. We're not going to talk white, black, yellow, red, you know. It's going to be, you know, settlers when you want to say white. You know, sure, the Indians said white because they were pale. They also said pale face and, you know, yellow hair and so on. But we don't have to go by color because that's what they want. They want racist wars.
Yeah, we don't have to go by color. We don't have to go by religion. We don't have to go by...
Nope.
Yeah, my thing is political views. If you're a Zionist, you're my enemy. You've made that very clear, Zionist.
You're not a human being. Nope.
Right. So I'm not going to be like Jew this, Jew that. But if you're a Zionist, you're my enemy. And that is what you've declared. I'm just accepting the terms of the battle here, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that you don't win.
And I love what you say at the end of every show. You know, in the world of, I still don't have it. You say it so quickly that I got to write that down. Every time I forget. In the world of something.
I'll say it slower this time.
Yeah, so yeah, please do. You fly through that really quick. It's like, no, slow down. What was that again?
I'm going to slow it down for you guys right now because we are definitely ending the show. But be sure to visit us on dailytalk.com, our social network. And yes, I am your host, B, and this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king. So please educate yourselves.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
And he gets a green light from Mom!
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.